Well, hearing about Zacchaeus sounds kind of familiar. I think we just heard about him in our Sunday gospel a couple of weeks ago. So it's one of those times where there's a juxtaposition of the Sunday readings and the weekday ones. And I think it's kind of brilliant that the church has put this together with this passage from Revelation. And there are so many kind of ways to kind of compare those and see the reinforcement of the deeper spiritual truths there. But we have time maybe to look at a couple of those. So in the first reading and the gospel, we hear of the kind of conversion and change to which a person is called after encountering Christ. Jesus is standing at the door of our lives and knocking. He's waiting for us to open up to him. So we have Zacchaeus, we have the church in Revelation, and we have our church and us as individuals. So Zacchaeus, of course, was rich by the world's standard, but he discovered upon meeting Jesus that his works, the way that he had been living, made him poor and in danger of spiritual death. Jesus was going to pass through Jericho, but Zacchaeus sensed that salvation would be passing right next to him. I don't know if he realized the full import of that, but meeting Jesus, it came to him in a powerful way. So he wanted to know who Jesus was. And that's the key always, isn't it? To want to know Jesus, to have that hunger, that desire. And Jesus always wanted to know him. And so that's the truth, isn't it? When we want to know Jesus, we discover that Jesus wants to know us. So it's a good thing that Zacchaeus was not lukewarm in that sense. He found that greater thing in Jesus. And upon finding the treasure, his joy was so great that he gladly traded his physical riches for the greatest wealth of all. We just have to want to hear Jesus say, "I know your works. You have conquered. You have made your clothes white." And so that is our movement towards the reading from the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. So this is very close to us because it's an address at this part in the book of Revelation. It's an address to the seven churches of Asia Minor, which John was told to write about. Now, we believe that sacred scripture is written freely by human authors, but also under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So like the prophets of old, John the Apostle was told to write certain things about the churches. And today we're looking in particular at the churches of Sardis and Laodicea. Now, John could only do that if his heart and his mind were willing, so he wasn't forced to write those things. So it's John writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so we receive these warnings, which are meant for our churches as well. This is a report card, a judgment of the seven churches, which had been so alive in Christ when they were first established. The church at Sardis hears Jesus say, "You think you are alive, but except for a few of you, you are dead. I know your works, and you have those are good works, but you have stopped doing them out of holiness." The condemnation of the church at Laodicea is even worse. What's worse than death? Complacency. Complacency is the worst death. They think they don't have to worry because they are rich, like Zacchaeus initially. But they have the wrong kind of riches, and unlike Zacchaeus, they think they're just fine as they are. Because of this, God condemns them right there. "You think you are fine, but you are worse than dead because of your complacency. Because of this, I will spit you out of my mouth." That's the language. It's strong language. It's meant for those churches, and it's meant for us. In both churches, except for a few individuals, they don't hear the knocking at the door. And Jesus is standing at that door for them. And he's standing at the door of our diocese and our church, our parishes, and our hearts. He wants to come in now. In the gospel passage and in the invitation to the churches, it is about Jesus coming into our house and making his home with us. Not just a part of the house, the part of the house that we're comfortable with him seeing, but the whole house. He wants to come into our hearts fully. It is an imperative. It's not a suggestion. The heart that is open, like his, must act on the openness. The world says that we don't know when the end is going to come, so let's not really worry about it. But the church says that we must think about it because it makes a difference to how we live and how we prepare for the coming of Christ in judgment at the end of our own lives, and which side we will be on at the final judgment of the world. Now today we have an optional memorial for Saint Albert the Great, so we're not focusing on him today, but I think he has some things to say about our world as well. Saint Albert the Great is a wonderful model for us. He was a man of both the natural world and the supernatural world. He was able to integrate those, to unite those. For example, you know, we hear about the conflict between, you know, religion and science and faith and reason. But St. Albert wrote 36 books on the natural sciences, and he became the 13th century's expert on physics, geography, chemistry, biology, and astronomy. They gave him a nickname. They said he was the teacher of everything there is to know. That would be an amazing nickname, wouldn't it? Now, he used faith as a basis for scientific discoveries, so he integrated those. Most importantly, I think, for us about St. Albert the Great is he also wrote extensively about his devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. These two things are not separate. So we have this from him, which is relevant to our passages today, I think, so we could think of what St. Albert is saying in the light of what we heard in the first reading and in the Gospel. St. Albert says, "Banish from your heart the distractions of earth and turn your eyes to spiritual joys, that you may learn at last to repose in the light of the contemplation of God. There is no one who approaches God with a true and upright heart who isn't tested by hardships and temptations. So even if you feel them, see to it that you don't consent to them. Instead, bear them patiently and calmly with humility and long suffering." We could go on about St. Albert. Let me just conclude today with the reminder that all things come to an end, and there will be a new creation at the end of time. And just as our year comes to an end, so does time. And we need to be prepared, don't we, brothers and sisters? The one who conquers, and the word there is, there were some people at Nike who were reading scripture because the word conquer in Greek is Nike, or the Greek word that means to conquer. The one who conquers will wear white and be written in the book of life. During the month of November, we acknowledge and recognize those who are written in our book of remembrance. But this is the book of life. And those whose names are written there will reign with Christ. And so our question today, or maybe you will come up with your own version of this in your own reflections, how will Christ evaluate what we have done and whether we have opened the door to him so that he may come in and make his home with us?